Hey everyone, welcome back to The Professional Church Worker. I, once again, am Luke Esselman.
Tyler C. Hafer.
We're excited to have you here either for the first time or back if you watch the other video. Excited to have you a part of...
Or videos.
Yeah, maybe you jumped around and watched other ones first. You're like, I don't need that one. I'll watch that one later. But we're excited to have you joining us for this little video series to encourage, entertain, lift up second chair workers, specifically Lutheran workers in the Michigan district, but perhaps beyond. Today we're going to be talking about clusters and what we're kind of dubbing colleague support groups.
Mm-hmm. Another name, yeah, and so I guess clusters, I even think some people in Michigan district aren't familiar with the phrase cluster.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I called it a pod. I used to call our pod, and then when
Were
I got
pod people, yeah. Is that how it's...
And that was in Macomb, and I'm going to have a pod meeting. I don't even know why, but then when I got back into ministry a year ago, Lexi's like, "Pods? Do you mean clusters?" I'm like, "Oh, sorry." So, and that could have just been me. I'd say a lot of things wrong. But
you blaze your own trail.
I blaze my own trail, right? So, as if I'm not, you know, noticeable and loud enough, but on top of that, for those of you who might not be familiar with clusters or as Luke said, colleague support groups, I tell a lot of people it's my networking group. It's people who do similar things that I do and we're supporting, praying, and networking. We're sharing ideas and some of it's collaborative ideas, mm-hmm. and some of it's, we did that, or I went through that. This is how I dealt with it. I like the word networking. It's a super familiar word.
It is.
It used to be like a buzzword, you know, like mm-hmm. we're going to go like networking. I don't know that it is anymore. But that's another way to look at it, is networking and the value of it. So we'll jump into it, I guess. So do you want to share what a cluster is?
Sure, yeah.
And what they might look like, or you want to open us up to that?
Yeah, sure. So they are, in general, groups of like-minded individuals that work in similar areas, mm-hmm. As we're talking about Michigan and the cluster groups we have in Michigan, we've got about four solid groups running right now. We are trying to get another one started.
Some more, yeah.
And they are not all of the same type of workers or the same areas of ministry. They're just workers in churches. I mean, mm-hmm. hey, similar to what we're aiming for with this video series. Mm-hmm. Many of them work in youth or children or family ministries, but mm-hmm. we have parish assistants. We have had youth pastors. We've even allowed some pastors in. It's true.
Some deaconesses.
That's true. And some directors of parish music, although a lot of times their areas of ministry mm-hmm. and their time, their mm-hmm. schedule, is such that they've not been able to be a part of it, but we want them to be included. Mm-hmm. So they gather together generally about once a month, and the aim is to build each other up, encourage each other, share things that are happening in ministry, so that ideas can be shared, so that there can be encouragement, so that, you know, as Tyler was saying, you know, I've dealt with that sort of thing mm-hmm, in ministry. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Here are some of the things that went wrong as we were going through that. Here are some of the things we did right. And how can I be praying for you through that? I mean, I think that's such a huge aspect of it, is to be praying for each other and being individuals that meet together regularly so that we know each other, we feel comfortable, you know, when something comes up, I can call so-and-so because I know them. You know, I hope that workers in the Michigan district, and I apologize if I just touched the microphone and that mess with it, but I hope the workers in the Michigan district feel comfortable coming to me, feel comfortable coming to Tyler, you know, when you have things that come up and you want to talk to someone. But I think even more so, the clusters are so important in that regard.
Yeah, and there's security in that where it's kind of unspoken, but it's confidentiality.
Yeah.
Like, it's an opportunity for you to come, be vulnerable, share your struggles, share your concerns, share your joys, like celebrate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And clusters too, as far as like, I can dive into a little bit of it as well as, you know, something else we try to do is go through a book series or read a book together that is kind of related to ministry. You know, it's I don't know that we've done one that's been super inwardly focused on us individually, but more so like, hey, this stuff that it would be great for us to bring to our congregations, learning from that. But it doesn't matter. Like, I think I suggest a book called Three Free Sins. It is not a CPH book. So
Three Free Sins?
Yes, Three Free Sins. I know. I know it is. To my cluster, it's but and that's a really like really works on your heart and really says, hey, like, here's an opportunity for you to kind of sin boldly, which is something Luther said, and not, we're sinners. And so being able to live in that and have the freedom of saying, I'm going to share my sins with you, and I know you're going to love me no matter what, and being able to open and transparent, because now, will that backfire? Yeah, it will sometimes. Like, and people, depending on the choice and your sin, like, you could lose your job over it, and there's stuff like that. But we have the gift of grace and freedom and forgiveness to be open about our sins and not allow them to cripple us. But again, not a CPH book. Not everything needs to be CPH. But that's an example of there's books that are I got a bunch laying around, but that are focused on, how can we bring this to our congregations and our parents and our youth and our just everyone? And what are these practices we can kind of start incorporating in our ministry? Yeah. Or it's like, hey, what can I do internally to grow in my faith better?
Yeah.
And so these clusters are really important. If you've ever been to the Michigan District, what do we call it? Church Worker Conference?
Yeah.
No, not the last big one.
The last one was the Commissioned and Special Ministers Conference.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we probably should just call it the Professional Church Worker Conference along with volunteers. Like, we're weird. All of us, like, we struggle a little bit. Like, what do we call this channel? Yeah. Because this isn't just for professional church workers. And so there's that struggle, but we have let's just call it for namesake, the Professional Church Workers Conference for like, us, not the big one that includes teachers and everyone, but we have ours. It's going to be at Arcadia. That's a great opportunity
in 2024. If you happen to be watching this years later,
in 2024, 2024. But that's coming up in the fall, and that's a great opportunity. Also, where like I look at it as like, oh, all the clusters are coming together because we want everyone in a cluster, and so. But at those conferences, that's a great opportunity to, like, I had some struggles that I was sharing to my cluster, my first or second year ministry. None of them have dealt with that. So then I'm like, well, I'm going to bring my concerns and struggles to the conference because then I go from five or six church workers to, I think our hope would be 80 to 90, but it's really been more 30 to 40 because it just came back. I think it's the first time we've done it in three or four years.
Yeah,
it's been a bit.
COVID.
Yeah, yeah. So, but just being in a community of people who are doing what you're doing, and I don't mean specifically what you're doing, but in ministry, not as the head of a ministry or head of a congregation. But and we keep saying second chair, but leading from the second chair is essentially saying we're like an under shepherd, or we're working alongside the pastor in our congregations. And myself, I have Lexi is another professional church worker here, which is unique. Not a lot of churches have two. Sure. Some of the bigger ones do. I would say we're mid I guess we're big, but we're mid-size.
Mid-big.
Mid-big, I guess. Mid or mid, yeah, I don't know, whatever. We worship like 350. No, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. Getting off track. But another thing we'll share about clusters, or I want to share about clusters real quick, and I'll kick it back to you, Luke, is Lexi and I go to separate clusters. You don't have to do that. Like, whatever, right? Like, that's fine. She does family life. I do more youth. She does more, like, women's Bible study, children's stuff. Like, we have different roles. So she actually goes to a cluster that has people who do kind of more family life stuff, maybe a broader practice. And it's not everyone in our cluster. And I go to one of just a bunch of grizzled vets. No. But I go to the local Ann Arbor one. But it doesn't matter which one you go to. It doesn't matter what flavor you are as far as your title responsibilities. But we go to separate ones, and I was pretty adamant about that when I started. Because guess what? If I have a struggle with, like, Lexi or a coworker,
or if she has a struggle,
or if she has a struggle with me, which is more likely, she can go to her cluster and be like, have a free space to vent, have a free space to share her struggles and be supported, and then they can reach out to me and be like, Tyra, you're an idiot. And that's fine. Because we all, in the end, are, you know, family. We're a family of youth workers, or not youth workers. I've got to quit doing that. Church workers. And like walking through life in ministry together. Even like, sometimes it's like, man, my family or my spouse, like your spouses, or like we're dealing with similar stuff.
Yeah.
Because we have these evening events. We're also dealing with, like, I have a high schooler and I'm dealing with high schoolers, and but it's different because one's my daughter and all the other aren't. And there's that unique struggle, I think, that we can share with one another. Yeah. And that's why I think we're hoping this transcends out of Michigan District, that this is like, there's hundreds of us, right? And if we could get us all connected, which hopefully a lot of you are going to New Orleans, this summer,
yep,
for the
National, kind of what it's called, youth National Youth Worker Convention.
Youth Worker Convention. Mm-hmm. And by then there'll be so many of these videos. You guys will want to come get our autographs.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't even remember where I was going with that.
Well, we're talking about clusters.
Oh, gathering together. Sorry, gathering together and going to those things, and being at separate clusters, I think, if you have multiple people on staff, is important.
You know, I think one of the things that, I don't know if you've used the word, you might have, but you've danced around it so much with all of that, was trust.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I mean, that is such an important part of, I think, these cluster groups, is the trust that can be built in those groups, to be able to share things about what's happening in ministry, what's happening in your family, what's happening in your personal life, and to be able to support each other in that way. 90% of the time, that's a number I plucked out of the air, but 90% of the time, clusters are using a book like we've talked about.
Yep.
But I have seen clusters use like a video series.
Okay.
It might be a curriculum from, CPH or non-CPH. It could be a YouTube series. Maybe you'll use this. Probably not. Yeah.
Real low value.
I've also seen a cluster group use a book of the Bible and do like one chapter every month of the year. And really, I mean, it's powerful. Yeah. And so as long as you're walking through life together, walking through ministry together, and finding ways to encourage and build each other up, not just like top 10, not just, hey, you're doing a great job, but how can we encourage each other to grow?
Yeah.
Not just stay where we are, but to grow in what we're doing and in the way God's using us in wherever we are in ministry.
And our cluster, we just stepped into a new book, but we kind of did a hiatus for a little bit And it was okay. We still gathered and shared and discussed and support. So don't also like force. I want to say like, especially the great thing is we have great cluster leaders. Like we really do. And I don't know if they're official leaders, but they're kind of, you know what I mean? Like they kind of like,
but that varies from cluster to cluster
too. It
does. Like our cluster over on West Michigan, we randomly just tell people their leaders and they're like, no. I think for me, the biggest part is, having someone who's sort of
facilitating
communication and stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes, people will sort of rise up.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's experience or just, you know.
Confidence.
Yeah,
or
good at listening. Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever it is. But and so I kind of a last point I want to talk about. We got about 5 more minutes we want to get to is, what if you're not in a cluster? What if you're not in a group? I and Luke would highly recommend you do. Join a group, a cluster, a networking group. And I think we would prefer it to be one of the clusters that Michigan District is trying to support. Mm-hmm. I think that would be, if that's possible, do it. I think that's great because it's a really good way for Luke, I think, to track and meet with people. And he pops in at cluster sometimes. To meet with the most people, kind of the most bang for the buck, just an opportunity for you. But if you can't, for some reason, join a cluster, which like I feel like that's prior, like that's what we'd prefer. I don't want to say we, but I think there's great value in that. And there's communication between the clusters, and it's kind of a cool system. Finding a couple people, who you can meet with, even if they're not necessarily doing what you're doing, but kind of that, not quite a mentor, but just a group of people you can meet with. And I know some churches have like youth boards or family life boards or whatever, but I think there's a value of going outside of your congregational walls. Mm-hmm. And that's what a cluster does. We're all in the Lutheran church, but we're not at any of each other's churches. And so if you're not in a cluster, if you're not in a networking group, if you're not in a mentorship group or a group outside of your congregation that does ministry, I would highly recommend becoming part of one.
Yeah.
The next question is, if you want to be part of a cluster and this is your first time hearing about it, reach out to Luke.
Yeah. I'd love to connect you with one.
He is tapped into all the clusters. We want to form more. There's only 4 clusters right now, which like, I'm not trying to like be negative, but based on the numbers, like we should have like 10 to 15 clusters, like in Michigan District. How many people do we have on, how many numbers? What are the numbers?
So the numbers of both our rostered workers and our non-rostered that are working for the churches is over 220.
And that's workers. Now, is that does not include teachers.
That does not include teachers.
And that does not include pastors or any of that. So that is, but that does include music.
It does include music.
Which is fine. Yeah. Music, there should be a music cluster. If there's not a music cluster, they should just join a cluster because we're all doing ministry together. Right. And the conflict that a music director might have in their congregation, because a lot of conflict in congregations is due to personalities or due to different views, that also has nothing to do with the ministry itself that's happening. So if you're a worship director or worship leader, join a cluster, or maybe Luke, I think you guys would be willing to talk about, hey, how can you guys form a worship director cluster?
Yeah, absolutely. I know some of them, like I even met with a worship director yesterday who teaches music in their school.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, depending on the schedule, hard to work that out. But yes, you know, if we can start more, you know, if you're looking at the clusters we have right now, and I know I've talked to some, and I think you have too, that, you know, the days of the week that we have clusters just does not fit their schedule.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to start one yourself, and I would love to help you start one. But I'll also say that, you know, there's I'm thinking of one person in particular who has been a part of the Kindle system. Karpenko Institute of Nurturing and Developing Leadership Excellence. I think that's it.
I never knew that.
I think that's it. She went through the Kindle program more than 10 years ago and has continued to Zoom weekly with that group.
Yep.
And so if she can't be a part of a cluster, but that's her support group, that's fantastic. You know, and if, you know, you've mentioned even people in your area that maybe are not doing the same ministry, maybe I'm going to say it, maybe even aren't a part of LCMS churches.
That's fine.
That's fine. Absolutely. You know, have that support group that you meet with and you can encourage and they can encourage you. It's huge.
Yeah. And just, we can't, I don't think we can stress enough the value of it. And the, it helps. And we're going to, the next, we're going to do a we're going to do a show on burnout. And so I'm not going to get into that a whole lot now. Our time's almost up, or it is up, but I want to share being plugged into a cluster or a networking group helps you work through burnout, prevent burnout, and also open up opportunities if you do need to leave your congregation to have support and help you transition through that with people who have been there or understand or know someone who's been there.
Yeah.
And Luke is there to help with it. He's already helping church workers right now who are transitioning out of congregations, whether it be good or bad. Clusters, I think, are probably the most valuable thing to help the longevity of church work.
That I've talked to so many for as long as I've been in ministry who have said, you know, I would not be in ministry still, you know, people who have been in ministry for 20, 25, 30 years, had I not been a part of a cluster group. And, you know, I'm going to say as well that while the cluster is going to support those individuals who are struggling, who are like, I think, you know, it's time for me to leave the congregation or leave ministry and stuff. If I think there are times where sometimes we need some tough love and be like, you know, ministry is tough sometimes and maybe you need to stick it out a little bit more. I think a cluster group is there to be a part of that too.
Yeah, be a sounding board and to give feedback.
Absolutely.
So our time is up. I am so glad you joined us today. And we are really hoping and praying that you, if you're not in a cluster, join one. If you are in a cluster, keep going. And aside from that, thank you for joining us today on the Professional Church Worker. See ya.